Commission, PENFAP, and DEF South Africa. We're starting a bit after time. I think committee members are used to start at 9:30. So today we decided to have an earlier meeting at 9 because we've got a couple of presentations to make to the committee. That is why I started a bit early. However, we'll go ahead. We've got a few apologies. Advocate Olomisa, co-chair from the NA. They've got Consolesa Congress in Devon, so he won't be here. And the honorable member, Tandi Ndube, she's from the ISOP, she's off to Morocco, by the ISOP. And then also Mr. Watson from the TA, he's also an apology. He won't be with us. Okay, honorable members, we've got a visitor today as agreed by the committee. The previous two meetings that will request PENFAP and other institutions that made presentations earlier in the previous government committee to come and make a presentation to us as we needed more information on the issue of CBD versus Sisutu Salibua and the TEPSA on the sign language, whether it should be the second language, and whether Sisutu or CBD Salibua in the constitution is the right dialect or is it a language. So today we've got those three institutions, the CRL Commission, TEPSA South Africa, and the PENFAP to give us a presentation. I think as honourable members are aware that we don't form a quorum, we'll go ahead have a meeting and have the presentation. We won't take any decisions. And then in the full committee meeting, we'll then brief all other committee members and from there on take decisions. Since we are all new faces from the new parliament, I'd like to introduce ourselves and then get started the work. I'll just introduce myself. My name is Bafunani Aaron Nguni. I'm the co-chair from the NSOP side and a member of this committee. And next to me is Ms. Patsy Jair, she's the committee secretary. And I'll like the honorable members present to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Dean Smith from the National Assembly, and I represent the Democratic Alliance.
Hendrik Schmidt from the Democratic Alliance.
Yeah, ANC.
Roy Ainsley, ANC.
I'm Nick Kurnoff, Congress of the People.
The left minority member of Pencil Butt.
Thank you.
Can also members of the board, CRL, and also DEF South Africa introduce themselves?
I'm Wesley Mabuza from the CRL.
Aubrey Sidubani, CRL.
I'm Kasebu from PENFAP.
Vula Yoyo, PENFAP Board.
I'm
Wilman
here,
ANC,
but I'm just giving support here
today. Thank you, honourable member. We appreciate your presence. We've got our researcher.
From
Dexter. Thank you. We've got our researcher in the back.
My name is Mzvi Sano. I'm from the research unit. I'm the researcher assigned to this committee.
We've got a visitor also from the Netherlands.
Good morning. My name is Marion Buster, and I'm here to kind of see what the committee is doing and what is happening. I'm working for the Office of International Diplomacy. Thank you.
And lastly, we've got PMG.
Robin Benjamin, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Okay, thank you. There's one more lady who has an interview.
Mishka, I'm committee assistant helping.
Oh, yes. And you're there.
This is Tom Kwazaito, Parliamentary.
Thank you. We all know each other now. Okay. Okay, Honourable Members, without much further ado, we will start the presentation. I understand GRL will start first, JAFSA will start first, and then the GRL Commission, and we'll end up with PENSA. Is JAFSA ready? We can have your presentation.
We are.
Let me just find some Honourable Members first. Would like us to, after each other's presentation, have questions, or would like to have all presentations with have questions thereafter? Doesn't matter. Just take all of them and then have questions to answer. Please note all your questions and then we will ask questions. Okay, JAFSA, over to you.
Hi, what I said just now, I used South African Sign Language. That is my language. I said thank you to Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Constitutional Review Committee for allowing me to come and do a presentation. My name is Bruno Drugen. I'm the National Director of DESA National Base in Johannesburg. This is the second time I would be addressing the Joint Constitutional Review Committee. People have thought that South African Sign Language is not a real language, but this is a real language. And I will do my presentation. In February 2007, I made a presentation to the Constitutional Review Committee, and I also then do now a presentation to you as a new committee. DESA is an organization administrated by deaf people, and we lobby for deaf people in South Africa. We have 9 provinces, and we represent approximately 1 million deaf people, from children to adults, deafened, hard of hearing, and deaf people. And approximately 600,000 deaf people are using South African Sign Language. In 1929, DESA was established. It was controlled and administered by hearing people in 1994 with the constitutional changes in South Africa, deaf are also transformed, and deaf people are now managing DESA. We couldn't affiliate to the World Federation of the Deaf because hearing people have control over DESA. So that's why we have to change DESA as well, the structures of DESA, in order for us then to then join the World Federation of the Deaf. So in 1995, we then became official members of the World Federation of the Deaf, who's also affiliated to the United Nations. We, as a non-profit organization, people think that we cannot be an organization. Deaf people cannot run an organization. So that's why we also registered as a non-profit organization in order to follow the laws of this country. Our vision and mission of this is to promote the interest of deaf and hard of hearing people effectively on a national level in Southern Africa. The purpose for my presentation is that we need to lobby for South African Sign Language and for education to be on a standard. And that is the purpose of me being here, that we as DESA have been lobbied for the different legislations. I've just given you just a brief overview of the different legislations that recognize the South African Sign Language. This has been part of really a lobby process of getting South African Sign Language recognized on a provincial and a national level as well. We contributed to the following legislations: recognition of South African Sign Language by our South African Constitution at number 108 of 1996, and then also it's in the Schools Act, where recognition is given to South African Sign Language as a medium of instruction and the purpose of educating deaf children. And then the White Paper of Education in 2001, and then the Code of Good Practice for People with Disabilities, Telecommunication and Broadcasting Industries, ICASA, March 2006. We've lobbied for this to happen for us, and to make television accessible, interpreters on television, and also subtitles. Slowly but surely, this is starting to happen for deaf people in South Africa. We also, for the White Paper on the Integrated National Disability Strategy, we also then have South African Sign Language also then being recognized. And the Code of Good Practice on the Employment of People with Disabilities, we want most of the companies and businesses to accept deaf people in the workplace, but to use South African Sign Language as a medium to communicate with the employees, and we've been very successful in that as well. Deaf has also been involved with SACWA, including South African Sign Language, and also with the interpreters in South Africa, and to get that on a standard for the teaching of South African Sign Language. And DESA participated in different demonstrations where we presented a memorandum to the Department of Education to recognize South African Sign Language as a medium of instruction, because it is mentioned in the Schools Act, but the schools are not implementing it. So, but they said we needed to implement it, but it has not been implemented. And what we also lobbied the Department of Education is that how are they going to mainstream deaf people, because they need to put interpreters in each of those schools. So that memorandum, just to give you a summary, what we stated as DESA. In South Africa, we have 44 schools of the deaf. And out of those 40 schools of the deaf, only 10 schools do have a matric. And that is our major concern, that they only offer up to matric level. And that's why we lobbied the Department of Education that if the schools do have a medium of instruction in South African Sign Language, more deaf children will be able to complete their matric with on a proper standard. And that's why we want teachers to learn and know South African Sign Language. But the teachers in the schools are using total communication. Just to give you the difference between total communication and South African Sign Language, total communication is sign with the spoken language. To give you an example, my name is Bruno. This is what the schools are using, but they are not switching off their voices. And they are, in South African Sign Language, me, name, Bruno. That is South African Sign Language. It's not that I use a different spoken language. Spoken languages are not linked to South African Sign Language. So that was part of the memorandum that we presented to the Department of Education. And I will explain to you later what happened to the court case where we've taken the Department of Education to court on this matter of the medium of instruction in South African Sign Language. The different position papers have been developed by DESA to guide the public on South African Sign Language, how the structure of sign language, the linguistics of South African Sign Language. And this is also then for the Department of Education, where we also set up a South African Sign Language Interpreter Position Paper, an Educational Position Paper, and a South African Sign Language Position Paper that clearly stipulates our position on South African Sign Language. The teachers also being interpreters, because as being said, teachers need to be in the classroom. So interpreters are a profession on its own, and teachers can't be interpreters as well in the schools, and that's confusing the role of the teacher as well as the interpreter. And training of South African Sign Language interpreters, there's a registered course with SACWA and Inquiry at Level 5, and that is available on your request, and DESA have lobbied for all of this, and we are ready for South African Sign Language to be implemented because South African Sign Language is also a registered course with SACWA. Many people think that South African Sign Language is not a language, and a language with no grammar, with no linguistics. We have South African Sign Language. There is not Afrikaans Sign Language, English Sign Language, and Xhosa Sign Language, and Sotho Sign Language. That information is completely wrong. To give you an example, in the Eastern Cape, the Xhosa speaking from hearing people are using Xhosa, and the people using Xhosa in Johannesburg, are they using the same Xhosa, or is it different? Why is the South African government not putting in the constitution, we have Eastern Cape Xhosa, and we have Johannesburg Xhosa, and we have Cape Town Xhosa? Why are they not putting that in the constitution? And Afrikaans spoken in the Western Cape is spoken differently in Gauteng. But why are they not putting that in the constitution and stating that? And I think you are all wondering, what is Bruno now saying and what is he meaning? But with Xhosa, there's different dialects, and the same is with South African Sign Language. I, as a black person, I will use South African Sign Language, and a white person is using also a sign language. We only have dialects, but there's no difference in the language, but there are dialects with the sign. This is the sign for mommy, mother, ma. The words are pronounced by or said by young people, mommy, mom, Ma. So this is the sign that we have. Mom, mother, mother. They are different dialects as well. And then people are thinking, oh, this is the English sign and this is the Xhosa sign because a black person used this sign and an English background deaf person have been using this sign for mother. And this is confusing the Department of Education. The Department of Education thinks that there are different signs and different sign languages. And there's only one South African sign language with different sign dialects within the language, just as the other spoken languages. South African sign language, many people think that they ask us, does it have a structure? Does it have a grammar? Does it have a present and a future tense? South African Sign Language has its own structure and has the rules of any other language. Many people think that South African Sign Language, you can't say, I was sick. You only sign this, I sick. The facial expression indicates the tense. Tomorrow I will be going to town. The facial expression indicates the tense. So South African Sign Language do have a structure, do have a grammatical structure, and have its own linguistical rules. And we have poems in South African Sign Language as well. Franco, the interpreter, is responsible to put this into English or in Afrikaans in the proper structure. But I'm not using total communication at all because I'm not using my voice with signs. That is a complete wrong perception of South African Sign Language. Tree, T-R-E-E. This is the sign for tree. It's a very visual language. Trees. Then we multiply this sign. This is the sign for car. And if there's movement, I'm driving. I got into my car and I parked my car. So I, the person, then parked the car. This is a sign that I'm using. You may be wondering if South Africa is the only country that wants South African Sign Language to be recognized as an official language. Other countries in the world have also recognized South African Sign Language. We had it in Austria, Belgium, Canada, Colombia, Cyprus, Finland, Flanders, France, Germany. All of those countries have been recognized and accepted their sign languages. And the World Federation of the Deaf are promoting countries and asking countries to accept South African Sign Language sign languages as an official language, and then South African Sign Language for South Africa as an official language. Ms. Wilma Neo-Juchen is an honorable member, and she's also the national chairperson of DEFSA. Recently, we went to Uganda. Uganda was the first country that had sign language approved as an official language, and we as South Africa want also to our sign language to be approved as an official language. In 2011, DEFSA will be hosting the World Federation of the Deaf Congress, and we want to report back to the World Federation of the Deaf, where 130 countries will be coming from the world. 5,000 deaf people will be coming to South Africa, and we want to report to them that we've got South African Sign Language recognized as an official language. So we want this to be implemented in South Africa. I know that there are questions how we're going to implement it, but Uganda had that have officially been recognized in the constitution as an official language, and we want this in South Africa as well, because everyone is looking at South Africa and to take the lead in what's happening. Yes, you've got to recognize our constitution, but not an official language. So this is DESA's priority, to make sure South African Sign Language is getting recognized in South Africa as an official language. Why do we want South African Sign Language to be recognized as the 12th official language? That deaf people know that we are in par with the hearing people, that there's no discrimination against our language, to provide access to different services of government. That's why we want South African Sign Language to be recognized. South Africa, as what we see from the Constitution, is that they are taking care of the communities in South Africa. And the Constitution of South Africa recognizing individuals in South Africa, they need to recognize us and our language in South Africa. And the Constitution states clearly that there can be no oppression of languages and discrimination against languages. And that's why we want South African Sign Language to be recognized. That's why we as South Africans, deaf South Africans, want to feel and to be part of a democratic South Africa. And they've always been saying that we want to improve the quality and the lives of people in South Africa. If South African Sign Language is approved as an official language, this will improve the quality and the lives of deaf people in South Africa. Yes, there are different societies, private sectors, that will then recognize South African Sign Language if it is an official language. The recommendations that DESA is making, that you must be thinking as how are we going to do this, that DESA set up a task team. Parliament approved the previous Constitutional Review Committee's report in 2007 that they approved it, the report that was tabled to Parliament, that the Department of Arts and Culture, Department of Education, and the Presidency and DESA to form a task team to work then to make sure that South African Sign Language is an official language. This task team will then also deliberate and make sure that what will be the budget implications for South African Sign Language as an official language. So DESA's recommendations stay the same, and what we presented to Parliament, they said that within 6 months that task team needed to be established. Unfortunately, it was not, and we want this then to be established, this task team, and then to PANSALP, also then to take the lead to make sure that South African Sign Language is developed. The Department of Education and the institute, doctors, and all of that information that we can then put together and then put it into a document. And this was our recommendation that was made then to the previous Constitutional Review Committee. After my presentation to Parliament in 2007, DESA have written letters to the newly Speaker of Parliament, and we asked what is happening, because this report was approved, and the Speaker responded and sent us a letter and stating that he will do a follow-up with the Constitutional Review Committee, as also then writing a letter to the Presidency, to our Honourable President, Jacob Zuma, and then to say how far are they in setting up this team. So Parliament has been recognising South African Sign Language, as you all know, but we want it as an official language. But these are our different recommendations, and the Department of Arts and Culture need to work with DESA in partnership and the private sector to do have a mass awareness campaign to sensitize the public. Like I said before, South African Sign Language and is a real language, equivalent in the status to any other language. And I hope that the members will support this and our recommendations and the report that was approved by Parliament, and to make sure that South African Sign Language is being recognized. Yes, Honourable Chair, you stated that this committee are new and with the new Parliament, and we are extremely happy that you did invite us to come and do a presentation to the newly elected committee members. Honourable Chairperson, first of all, deaf people in South Africa have been very pleased and pleased with Parliament of approving the report, because, and they are looking up to Parliament, because Parliament has set the standard of appointing a deaf member of Parliament to make sure that deaf people's matters are recognised and taken forward. And having sign language interpreters in Parliament, Parliament is leading the role. They are the role models to other institutions and departments in South Africa to follow. And South Africa Got Talent. Have you watched that TV program? A deaf person won that competition, a national competition. And I'm surely that have put deaf people on the stage as well. His parents can sign, and that was really a huge accomplishment for deaf people in South Africa. And I hope that people will be more aware of deaf people in South Africa and our language. And the judges were so impressed that a deaf person have won it. And they won it through, he won that, I believe, through SMSs. And deaf people have been supporting him. That's our medium of communication, through SMS. That have given so much hope to so many deaf people in South Africa that deaf people can do it. Deaf people are equal to hearing people in South Africa. That's why we say nothing about us without us. Give recognition to deaf people and South African Sign Language for us to be in equal par with the hearing people in South Africa. Deaf people have been severely discriminated against in the apartheid system because they were forced to use the oral method and they were not allowed to use South African Sign Language or Sign Language. They had severe mental implications on deaf people. And we do not want the spoken language to be enforced on us. We want South African Sign Language to be recognized. Thank you for listening to me, Honourable Chair. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Trichet. I think Honourable Members, you noted the questions. We now take the next presentation, which is CRL. Welcome, Honourable Grant. We welcome this opportunity to present, in a sense, just to explain to the members of the committee that we were grafted into the tree that has been dealing with the matter at hand, which is the Pedi versus the Northern Sotho language. That's our specific presentation today.
And just to say that we are
seeing quite different with your PowerPoint presentation.
So in the meantime, can I proceed or should I wait?
Remember, they have a hard copy for the presentation.
Okay,
yes.
We had a summary of the main presentation which was done in May 2007.
I just think it's over here. It's got your hard copy.
Okay,
continue your hard copy. If your technology comes to life, you can do it. Okay, then okay. Go ahead.
Sign language is driven by certain technology. We had a summary because mainly, Chairperson, we were really not sure what kind of presentation we needed to make and how much the members knew. And so please do interrupt us when you need us to actually get onto something which you are expecting from us. So our intention is really to try. So what I'll try to do is to represent then, instead of the summary that we've written, we will try, and I'm not sure, Chairperson, whether I should do the summary or I should do the whole presentation that was done in May 2007. The summary would do, because we've got it in writing. Thank you very much. And therefore, just to situate the commission, of promotion and protection of the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, called CRL for short, is a constitutional body established to strengthen constitutional democracy and especially mandated to promote respect for the rights of cultural, religious, and linguistic communities. Given the above, the Commission has received and continues to receive complaints and requests from CRL communities to assist them with the promotion and protection of their rights. Today's meeting is therefore corollary of the submissions that the Commission received from certain linguistic communities regarding the issue of Sipedi and Sesotho Sagibor, and therefore the subsequent submission that the Commission sent to the Constitutional Review Committee during the year 2007, which you have in your hands. And just a brief background. As per the above, the Commission's submission to the committee was prompted by the public outcry or complaints from members of the Balhapa, Babirwa, Bulubedu, and Mamabulu communities, respectively. These members are anxious about Sipedi being entrenched as an official language of the Basotho Balibua in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, Act 108 of 1996. Their submission is that Sipedi is a dialect of Sesotho Sagibor has been elevated over other dialects. And just to make this caveat, Chairperson, that we're using the dialect not as a derogatory term, but as a branch of a language. And if we can find a better word than dialect, we will use that word. Via Sibirwa, namely Sibirwa, Kolobedu, Sipulana, Sikogwa, Sikhaka, etc. And that's the, I think that is the nub of the complexity of the challenge. The AVA that Sesotho Sagibor should be entrenched in the Constitution as an official language of the Northern Basotho, Basotho Balibua, Northern Sotho. What this means is that Sipedi must be replaced by Northern Sotho. I hope we will appreciate the nuance in these two words. Some of the complainants, Eva, that Bapedi are the people around Sekukuni, but not everyone who speaks Northern Sotho. Not everyone there speaks Northern Sotho. According to them, the effect of Sipedi as an official language is negative on them. And these are the people that we counted. In that their children are forced to learn Sipedi as their mother tongue and therefore their first language. They therefore do not want their children to be taught in Sepedi, but in their languages, if Sepedi continues to be offered in schools. However, they are prepared to learn in Northern Sotho. While still on this point, however, not losing its focus, the Commission would like to sensitize the committee on the different approaches that the Bulobedu community is taking on this matter. The Bulobedu community, for instance, is taking a different view, and this has been a very recent, I think it was last week, when a delegation from the CRL went to meet the community there with the Makosi. According to the Bulobedu, their concern is not necessarily similar to that of the complainants who want the Sepedi to be replaced by Sesotho Swalebua. Theirs is that they do not only want their children to be taught in Kolobedu, but also that they want Kolobedu to be recognized as an official language in the constitution. Just to maybe amplify the difficulty that I think the committee will be facing is that, for instance, the Kolobedu people would even find themselves nearer the Bavenda, because even the spelling Kolobedu, for B you have a V, which is more towards the Shivenda than it would be towards Sepedi. Then action by the Commission. Reverting back to the Northern Sotho and Sepedi issue, the Commission adhered to its legislative mandate to facilitate resolution of friction between and within cultural, religious, and linguistic communities, or between any such community and an organ of state where the cultural, religious, or linguistic rights of the community are affected, through investigation of this matter by looking into the discussion documents from the Pan South African Language Board. These were the documents. This was all the work that was done by our predecessors. And then, and the report of the meeting that the Commission held with the Makosi. I don't know whether there was a meeting which was done by the Commission with the Makosi and of the Capricorn District in Limpopo on issue of designation of Sepedi as an official language in the constitution instead of Sesotho Swalebua. The meeting with the Makosi of the Capricorn District in Limpopo was on 24 November 2006. Now, in our presentation, PowerPoint presentation, we also make reference to a situation where in 1993, the interim constitution had Sepedi, had Northern Sesotho as the official language. Then, the reason why we're here today is simply because in 1996, in the constitution, it was changed into Sepedi, in our view, without proper consultation. In our view, without going through the same channels that you go through with it. Now, Chairperson, I think it's a, whatever the case is going to be, we want a CRL to accept the fact that Sepedi has a right to claim what they claim. But at the same time, we need also to be aware, in terms of our mandate, that it cannot want to supersede the other, so-called dialects, because I don't have a better way for that. And therefore, it's almost like the five fingers in which the one finger wants, these five fingers must be called according to it. And that is the situation we face. While saying that we in no way want to minimize Sepedi in its quest for a recognition, but we've already, this is a summary, Chairperson. I don't know if I could do more than this, because this is just the nub of the major situation we're facing.
Okay, thank you. I think, members, if you look through your
document, a full presentation, just a very short summary. But this presentation that you got in our pigeon notes is a full explanation and also supporting document, the meeting in the, that they had, and a lot more information. Okay, questions, when asked questions, you can as well include all that information that on all those documents that you've got from the committee section. Is Pensal ready?
Thank you, Chair. Clearly, the problem is the CRL technology file. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Chair. My name is Chris Swebo. I'm acting CEO at Pensa. My colleagues have already introduced themselves. We have been asked to present on two matters to the committee, and it was a very short presentation because the committee has asked us to just recapture and remind the committee of the events of the past, and we intend to do that. I just have flu, which I got from the mother city, so committee members would bear from with me. Thank you very much. This is the board of Pensal. I will not introduce them for now, but the chairperson is Professor Hao Kelenguban. Now, we are explaining here the legislative mandate, and the context would be seen later that our mandate in terms of the constitution, rather the constitution mandates the state to establish the Pensal African Language Board. And also that this language board must promote and create conditions for the development and use of all official languages, the Khoi and Nama and South African Sign Language, the Khoi Nama Sign Languages and South African Sign Language. Now the essence of point A there, that we must create conditions for the development and use of these languages. We want to emphasize this point because more often we are looked at when people speak of the development of languages. Yet in terms of the constitution, the development of language, the responsibility for the development of languages actually rides with government departments. We are mandated to create conditions for the development of languages. And there is a huge difference in the two. I have already indicated, Chairperson, that the Pensal Act, the act that governs us, that establishes the language board, also says we must promote and ensure respect for all South African official languages, thus ensuring that they enjoy parity of esteem. We are also enjoined to promote and ensure respect for all languages commonly used in South Africa, such as German, Greek, Gujarati, Hindi, and so on. Now, just as a background to what had transpired previously, around the year 2000, we received complaints as Pensal, and I think the CRL has already given that background. But we had received complaints around the issue of why the language in the final constitution is Sepedi. And by the way, in the interim constitution, it is Sesotho syllable as represented. It is Sesotho syllable. As a result of that, the previous board commissioned research and consultations with various academics and communities, and I think we did that with the CRL Commission, hence the joint statement to the committee then. Now, the main finding was that Sipil is a dialect, as indicated already by Obamufundisiye. And such a joint presentation was done to this committee, it was already said. And the joint statement by the CRL and PENSAL recommended to the then committee in 2007 that CPD be replaced in the constitution by Sotu Salimu, that this joint committee should facilitate that. It also recommended in that statement, which members have, that this committee should engage the affected communities. PENSAL went further to rename its structures. The National Language Body, for instance, for CPD was renamed NLB for Sesotho Salibo. So did we do with the NLU. We have also subsequently received a complaint from the CPD speaking people, which is documented here. Firstly, that they question the validity of the research, and they believe that CPD should be the language. Now, there are two things I want to just emphasize to the committee. Firstly, and it was a review done by the board at this point. The current board looked at the situation and came to the conclusion, when it reflected on the matter, that it was incorrect on the part of PENSAL, at least, to have firstly expressed an opinion on the matter. The constitution created us as a constitutional body that must be impartial at all times and refer people to the appropriate committee, which is this committee. So to that extent, the board said, we should not have chosen side, as PENSAL at least, as a constitutional body that is mandated to be impartial on matters of this nature, and as a body that is mandated to look after the 11 official languages and also promote South African Sign Language and the Khoi and the Nama languages. So our responsibility is to languages, once they have been declared by Parliament through this committee as official languages. It had the effect of compromising the language board. I was saying to you, Chairperson, earlier as we were coming in, for instance, if this committee were to want to go hold public hearings, it would have been appropriate for the committee to invite PENSAL and the CRL Commission and say, look, as people who are responsible, please come with us to this public hearing. But as for us as PENSAL, we would have been compromised because we have already expressed an opinion and chosen sides in the debate. And to that extent, we would not be able, we would already be judged by the people we would be going to. So for us, we want to make that submission. And it is always a good chair when people are able to reflect on their previous decisions and submit that to a certain extent in our zeal to participate and resolve some of these problems, we may have overstepped our mandate. We are of the opinion that it is the mandate of this committee to hold public hearings and take impartial people to those public hearings so that you are not prejudged as a committee to be merely coming to rubber stamp the decision of PENSAL and the CRL as recommended in that document. So I've already made this point that whilst we do not want to express an opinion on the matter, as we shouldn't in terms of the constitution, regard, however, has to be taken as to how it came about that Parliament changed the language originally from the Sutsalabua to Sepedi. So our recommendations to the committee is that the committee should engage in broader consultation on the matter. And we did make this recommendation previously as well when we appeared in front of the committee, and that there needs to be research on the matter. And we are not saying the research that was done should not be used as one of the resource documents, but however, there still needs to be broader consultation by the committee. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. You suggest two submissions. These are only in one submission.
Yes, we have also been asked to briefly reflect to the committee on what had previously occurred on the South African Sign Language matter. This has already been touched in the previous presentation. These two. Now, with regard to South African Sign Language, Chairperson, Mr. Duncan has already indicated that DEFSA met the committee in 2007. And by the way, Chairperson, Mr. Duncan forgot to inform this committee that he is also a board member of PENSAL, which is an achievement greater than the winning of the competition. Now, at that meeting, Chairperson, PENSAL was requested to continue to promote South African Sign Language and to report back to Parliament on the progress made. Now, we have made quite a number of strides in the promotion of South African Sign Language. We have established a national language body that seeks to ensure that the language is standardized, which verifies and authenticates terminology. And it is now in its second term. We have just had interviews for new members of that body. And as indicated earlier by Mr. Duncan, we have participated and funded some projects where teaching and learning materials are produced for South African Sign Language. We even have a DVD on health terminology. Just here in the Western Cape, we have also trained frontline staff in hospitals. We've done that everywhere, but more so in the Western Cape, so that deaf people, the frontline staff at these government departments and at the hospitals, are able to communicate with deaf people. And we are not by any means saying that is sufficient, but these are some of the projects that we have been engaged with. And we have brought our annual report because we did not want to regurgitate it in this presentation. It has been a long presentation, so that members are able to see some of the initiatives on sign language. We work very well with DEFSA in many provinces. When we celebrate national days around sign language, we do that with DEFSA mainly. So we have a relationship with DEFSA. In Gauteng recently with DEFSA, we have had debates, South African Sign Language debates in schools, programs that seek to promote South African Sign Language. We have also trained parents, as Mr. Duncan was alluding earlier, that people who can speak at times are unable to relate even with their children who are deaf. So we have attempted, within the limited resources we have, and we trained parents who have got deaf children in order for them to be able to relate with them. Earlier we heard about the issue of sign language, and the background was given around ensuring that sign language is a subject in the curriculum of South Africa in our schools. We have engaged the department even beyond the Carl Springgate court case. The department met with PENSAL and outlined its plans on how to give effect to that decision, that South African Sign Language should be an official language in the curriculum. We have, however, advised the department that we are not the only stakeholder, and we agreed that perhaps it was important that we meet first and be presented with this. But we have agreed that the department would then call a broader consultation on the matter and call all organizations that represent the deaf community. The second aspect, apart from promoting and creating conditions for the development of South African Sign Language, there has been a request by DEFSA made to us that we lobby together with DEFSA that South African Sign Language should become an official language. The board took the view and in interpretation of our constitution that perhaps the most relevant committee to hear such a request is this one, because we would not be able to do the lobbying. Otherwise, we would have a plethora of such requests from other language groups, including some of these dialects. We have those kind of things, and we're turning them back. And this by no means says we do not believe in the cause, and we do not believe that there is a huge community of the deaf that is excluded from participating in the day-to-day activities of this country. So we are saying, whilst we hold that position, we are also of the view that perhaps this committee should also give regard to the constitutional provision relating to sign language. The fact that sign language is immediately put after the official languages in the constitution, and we are enjoined to promote it and create conditions for its development. And the fact that, as indicated earlier, that in the documentation, the South African Schools Act and the National Curriculum Statement, sign language is included, should at least act as a catalyst for us to think deeply about what was presented by DEFSA earlier. And clearly, it would appear that the Constitution is placing South African Sign Language on the same pedestal as official languages. And thus, the request by DEFSA should be looked at in a manner that is as urgent as they are requesting. So we are also asking that the Constitutional Review Committee should also do a feasibility study. And I think DEFSA has, in line with this, already proposed some measures that must be taken in terms of such a study. We're also saying that this committee must, in the same vein as the ICPD matter, consult further on this matter. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you to our presenters. Honourable members, may I see your consent and questions to all three presentations. Honourable Kornhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I just ask, you know, and both, all, well, one or doesn't matter who's responding to this. Can I just have a practical, one or two practical examples why sign language will be better off being an official language? That's my first question. The second one, in their presentation from Deaf South Africa, they're saying that they've tabled a number of countries where sign languages have been accepted, recognized, and protected. Now, is that not the case in South Africa, if you look at the legislation? Is it not being accepted here, recognized, and protected already? I just want to know, is it in Austria, Belgium, Ireland, Italy, is it in their constitutions? Is that the way they protect languages in their constitution, or is it not already being protected? I just want to know that. And then, just out of curiosity, When was sign language the first signed, spoken? You know, where? You know, you can say, is it documented somewhere in the world?
I think the first method of sign language was when the first man hit the other man over the head with a club. It was a clear sign. Mr. Chair, yes, only three issues. To Pensop, how much consultation has taken place, in particular 2007, when prior or after the presentation was made to the Constitutional Review Committee? Because I think one needs to follow it up from there. To DEFSA, from a point of interest, it's quite interesting to see that you call it South African sign language. I would have thought that there's a international sign language. How does it link up with international sign language? Does it, is international sign language, does it exist or not? I would have thought that it would be a universal language. Maybe expressed differently, but the signs are, as indicated, is one sign for a motor vehicle, is one sign for a tree. Is it a universal international sign language? And then thirdly, to the CRL, do you understand that the Sotho, let me just get it correctly, Salabua, includes Southern Sotho, because I'm not sure where Southern Sotho fits in. It seems on page 2 of a document drafted by the, as a discussion document by also by the South African Language Board. On page 2, it says reports and letters. Sotho Salabua, it says Northern Sotho 62.39%, and then Sapedi 26.61%. How does Southern Sotho fit in? I guess it's a matter of interest. Thank you.
And that also see why then Ainsley.
Thank you, Chair. If that's the I'm looking for clarity. I don't know who's going to respond on this, because it's whoever can respond on it, I don't mind. In the presentation, I heard that this the sign language was recognized in some of the schools. But it was just the implementation. There was no implementation. Are they saying then that because there was no implementation, and it means there was no monitoring, it was not monitored in those schools? And also what I want to know is that, I've heard that they want to be included in the curriculum. Another thing that I want to know is the difference between the Northern Sotho and the Sotho and the Sotho Salabua. What is the difference? Is it the same thing? The Sotho, Northern Sotho and the Salabua is or one is English and one is Sotho. Okay, fine. Then, here's another thing that I would like to know. I would like to know this because I'm taking this from experience. There was my cousin who was staying at home, who couldn't talk, who couldn't hear. Then he came to us when he was just old. He was never been at school. Can that person was not educated? The language we learned while we were just staying with her, how to talk to him. Can that particular person who has never been at school talk to an academic in that language, in the sign language? Can that person, can they relate those two people? Thank you.
And I will answer and then respond.
Chair, thank you very much. My first question is unrelated to the topics under discussion, but because it's my first engagement with the CRL Commission and the board, I want to know what the difference is between the two entities, because both promote language. Language is the mandate of both. Are we not yet looking at a duplication of effort and resources? What is the difference between the two? So that's my first unrelated question, but I'm sure you'll have patience with me and allow me to ask and answer and have it answered. The second, we've heard the PAN Lab position on sign language as an official language. What is the position in that regard of the CRL regarding sign language becoming an official language? And the third is, I wonder if either the commission or the board could tell us why Sesotho became an official language in the final constitution. Why Sepedi became an official language in the final constitution, why Sesotho was dropped. As I think in one of the presentations we were told, Sesotho was in fact an official language in the interim constitution. I think that's all for now. And also, if DEFSA could also clarify this list which has been referred to. Are these official languages or just protected? How many of these are official in these countries listed here? Thanks.
Okay, Honourable Smart. Thank you, sir. Forgive me, but if you'll permit me, I just want to respond to Mr. Ainsley. I think, firstly, this is perhaps not the place to ask the bodies what they do. I mean, we are the Constitutional Review Committee. If you will quickly peruse Section 6 of your Constitution and Chapter 9, you will find what the two bodies do and what they are, and I suggest that we do not spend time on that with respect. Likewise, on the issue of how did Sepedi get into the final constitution, we've all been doing our reading, and I think it's unfair to the rest of us who have familiarized ourselves with the matter now to spend time on that rather than to move forward and get closer to a resolution on how we go forward. Chair, may I just say to you, to DEFSA, I think that you know that we are sympathetic to your plea to constitutionalize, but I do want to ask, along the same lines as somebody else, what is it you think that you will achieve by constitutionalization? Is it that you want to put weight behind programs like getting sign language actually used in the schools for the deaf, for example? Because I just want to warn you that I don't think it will necessarily give you more muscle. Our 11 languages that are constitutionalized do not imply that all 11 automatically get equal usage or equal funding, because it's impossible. And that same Section 6 indicates that governments in the provinces and also municipalities must try to use at least two languages, but that practicality is allowed to influence these decisions. So even the languages that already have official language status do not get automatically usage or funding across the board. So you may not achieve what you want to achieve and to which we are sympathetic. If you'd like to rebut that or refute that, please. And another question. 1 million people is a lot of people. As Advocate Schmidt was saying to me before we started, that's one out of every 40 South Africans. And may I ask whether the figure isn't even higher? Because I have understood that 4 million South Africans are hard of hearing. Now, to what degree do people who are hard of hearing and not deaf, to what degree would they benefit from the formalization of South African Sign Language? In other words, I'm trying to assist, but I'm also trying to warn you that the effect, the flow, may not be quite as much as you think. To Pencil, with respect, I don't think impartiality means what you have construed it today to mean. People must be impartial precisely when they do take a decision or make a recommendation. And I accept your impartiality. I've looked at all of the work that you've done, and it is precisely valuable when you make a recommendation, apply your minds impartially, but then recommend to us, as you have done, that we should revert to Sesotho Salabawa. That makes it useful. I personally doubt that this committee could, in fact, go and consult with all of the communities. I think what you suggest is good, it's wise. Ideally, we should ourselves take on all this consultation. But I think in practice, what precisely makes Transalp's work so valuable and that of the CRL is that we have experts who have looked at the situation, done the study, and furnished us with the documentation. And therefore, you know, I tend to be happy to go with your recommendation, even you have, though you have now taken one step back. And I have consulted deeply within our own party, especially with our members who come from that geography, and they concur with your recommendation as it stands. I have one last little question. Our colleague, Mr. Wattie Watson, who is a bit of an expert and who can't be here, he pointed out to me that Annexure A to your original, it's the document called the debate. The Annexure A is a page that quotes from the final constitution the 11 official languages, because as we all know, it's only the English and the Zulu versions that have Sepedi. The rest are still Sesotho Salabawa. So it's only two of the final constitution versions that have Sepedi, and that's all we're dealing with. But Mr. Watson indicated to me that not the others have quite the right thing, and I wish he were here now to speak to this, but I suspect it was perhaps the Swati one. Is that the Sesotho Sasa Nyakatfo? Is that what is supposed to represent the Sesotho Salabawa in the Swati version? But would you just, I'm sorry, I'm not even formulating it very well because I don't have Mr. Watson's exact position, but I heard Mr. Kurnoff behind me agreeing, so perhaps he can speak to this. If you could comment to this. Chair, would you allow Mr. Kurnoff to add to what I've very clumsily tried to say, that the drafting of in the final constitution of some of the other languages referring to Sesotho Salabawa is not correct. Would you allow Mr. Kurnoff?
Chairperson, I just concur that was also indicated to me by one of my members. But, you know, I do not have more information. I think Ponsop must just probably look at
this. Can you speak to your mic?
Ke re kere ke a leboga tanya ka interpret. Ke fitile la tsa gore ke be ke attendile meeting wa defense ke go pala tsarelo gona mo. Ke ne le putsiso go ba pensal gore na ka ba fitelela ke tareng. Mafelo le ana gore le feletse le bona o ka re ka mokare ka dikhabara ba tsotsa le bo. Re na le English, re na le Afrikaans. Nkane re sa le se Sepedi, ra ba le leleme la Setokwa, ra ba le Sekopa, ra ba le Tshilobedu, ka re ka moka wa ona ke maleme. Mafelelo felelo ba le ba Sepedi le bona ba ka tla ba feleletse ba elwa ba re gape re na, a re ka se ra kgona go bolela Sesotho sa Leboa. Ke putsa ka ke a
leo ya gore. Let me interpret first.
Okay.
Unless someone can interpret from Pensal. Okay, she's asking, she's from Limpopo. She first apologized for being late. And then she was asking now that they're from Pensal, that there are different languages, Sitokwa, Sibeledu, and all those. Now, she wanted to find out what this was at end with the Pensal on the Sesotho Salabawa, whether are they agreeing that Sipedi is representing all the Limpopo people. Are they still going to find out about that? My correct.
Sorry, Chair Person. Give me a question. Can you ask a question? I have a language. I have a language. I have a language. I have a language. African. The English.
She's
section on the carriage whether can they make a spirit to be a language, not a dialect, and these all other languages, Veledu to be a language, not a dialect, Sesotho to be a language, not a, I mean, Sitokwa,
Silobedu,
all those Sitokwa. Other dialects that are there, to promote them to be, or to elevate them to be languages, not dialects. She's asking that. Can we have response, whoever is first?
Yeah, I'll just deal with the matters that relate to Pencil, but colleagues will follow with the others. I don't know how to say this, Chair. But it is in the same line as underlined by the Honorable Smart. I think the committee should appreciate the power it holds. Because some of the questions border on outsourcing the power of the committee to Pencil. For instance, we would have wanted to know from the committee why CPD became the language in the final constitution, not the other way around. We're not here. It's members of parliament who must tell us why they decided in that manner. But nonetheless, these things have already been addressed. The last question also relates to that. It is not us. It is you who must take that decision. And it links with the question of impartiality. Say, it does not mean we would not do our work, and I appreciate that we are commended for doing it. However, what we are saying is that in terms of this mandate, we are enjoined to deal with languages as you, as this committee, shall have declared them official and that the constitution is amended. So we take our cue from there. So we are unable, therefore, to take all the requests as they come and make recommendations on them. Because as a body, we will end up being compromised in terms of our integrity as an institution that is tasked to do work on languages once you shall have consulted on them and recommended to Parliament and Parliament changes the constitution. So essentially, that's what we're saying. We will always do our duty, but we've got to look at the implication and interpret the constitution. And we're also not saying, as we indicated earlier, we're not saying we are withdrawing the research. We are saying the research is there. It has its conclusions. It must be used as a resource. But we are saying it is illogical to say to the committee, change the language, and then go consult. You consult on the basis of findings. In other words, we are going to the communities to validate a conclusion Pencil has already sponsored, and we are saying this is not correct. Your consultation should be impartial. It should not. You can't consult with a view to make Sesotho Sign Language an official language. You must consult with a view of hearing all the sides. That's all we're saying, and then make a decision. Otherwise, you would be compromised as well. An honorable member asked about the consultation that might have happened. I don't know whether it was around sign language or... Or with regards to sign language, as we are indicating, we are continuing to promote the language as requested by the constitution and as emphasized by that particular meeting. But we have had no platform subsequently to come and report to this particular committee. We do, however, report to the Portfolio of Arts and Culture on every aspect of our mandate, hence our annual report. However, the previous chairperson of this committee did meet with us at some point when he was planning the logistics of this committee, consulting the communities,
and I've been made aware that that process have not happened. I think that's the only consultation that has been there between us and the committee. The same goes with the matter of Sesotho Salibua, which we have now come present. But lastly, Chair, even though this question will be answered by Jessa, a question was asked, why sign language would be better as an official language? Now, this is where we can simply share our experience of the implication of a language being an official language. First and foremost, you are unable to promote, or rather, this language is unable to be used in various departments. We are now focusing on the Department of Education, merely because it has committed itself in its own documents to have this language in the curriculum. What about the Department of Science and Technology? What about other departments? So the implication that if you make it official, you compel those departments, all government departments, and all layers of government to do something about it. You compel the National Language Policy Framework to include South African Sign Language. You are also able to say, as per Cabinet's instruction and the National Language Framework, that as municipalities develop language policies and as provinces develop language policies, they are now able to put South African Sign Language as part of those language policies, thereby compelling these layers of government to even communicate in South African Sign Language and to consider it in its communication as per the provisions of the National Language Policy Framework. So there is a vast difference between it just being there to be promoted and it being an official language. So there is an effect, a greater effect that can happen if the language were to be an official language. I think those are the issues, Chair, that later in some other forum, members will tell us why it is in the final constitution. Thank you very much.
Okay, who is next? Sharon?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. First of all, I need to explain to the members of Parliament prior to 1994, DESSA lobbied South African Sign Language to be an official recognized language. What hit us in the faces is that SABC, we lobbied the SABC for South African Sign Language to be there and to be recognized. And what they said, South African Sign Language is not an official language. Why must we put it in our policies? And we thought, okay. So we started then with renegotiating with them. And then the Department of Education. The Department of Education, and we say that the schools are not accepting it because they said, because we're saying this, the schools act are saying this. Everybody's just pulling up their shoulders and say sign language is not in the Constitution of South Africa. And it's not an official language. That is what the teachers are saying in the Department of Education. For transport, for driver's license, the Department of Transport is not accepting South African Sign Language as a language. So they are not providing any interpreters. They said, why do we need to provide interpreters? Because South African Sign Language is not recognized in the Constitution. Science and technology. MTN will be having information for deaf children, maybe to have access to learning centers, maybe in future. When we ask MTN or Department of Social for Technology to include South African Sign Language to make it accessible, they will just pull up their shoulders and say it's not in the Constitution. That's why. And that's what our experience was with the different departments. They do not want to implement, they don't want to make their service accessible because it's not an official language. That's why we want this. Okay. In the different countries, New Zealand is an official language being accepted in their constitution, Finland and Uganda, and in Spain. The rest, I can give you more details if they are protected or recognized or an official language. But honorable members of parliament, if they accepted South African Sign Language, but we know everyone accepts South African Sign Language in parliament, and we know that honorable members do accept it, but we want it in the official language. You ask me, where did the first sign come? I'm proud to say that sign language is the oldest language in the world. Do you want to know how? Why I'm saying this? The cavemen, like you said, how did they communicate? How did the cavemen communicate? I'm very proud to say sign language is the oldest language, and it started in those years in the cavemen. They communicated through signs, telling each other what they want. That's the oldest language in the world. Yes, in the 17th century, 18th century, they started formulating sign language. And the Indians as well, they recorded those signs in Europe. That was in the 17th century. But just to inform you, this is the oldest language in the world.
It's just interesting. Maybe my question was misunderstood there. Sign language is a designated language for deaf people. Cavemen were not necessarily deaf when they spoke in sign. They could not understand each other, but they were still speaking a language. So that was the point of my question. When was it sort of starting to be a language for people who cannot speak another language?
Okay, I agree with you. The cavemen, they were hearing, but they didn't have any language that was developed. Language was developed out of signs. So that in the 17th century, that was recorded in history, where they first documented signs. In the South African Sign Language, just to answer Honorable Smuts, Dean Smuts, a deaf person uses South African Sign Language to communicate to another deaf person that uses South African Sign Language. A hard of hearing person who accepts South African Sign Language and accepts deaf culture will then communicate. If, honorable member, if maybe tonight, if you are by accident getting deaf and you're deafened immediately, and then you would then, and you don't know what to do, where will I fit in a deaf world or in a hearing world? That are hard of hearing people. The people that slowly lost their hearing, and there are two different worlds that are distinguished in the deaf community. There are the hearing community, the hard of hearing community that don't accept South African Sign Language, that wants to communicate only, and then deaf people that have a deaf culture that accept South African Sign Language as a medium of instruction. So if you want to have a conversation with your girlfriend, you can't do it with lights off. You need to have the lights on. So that's part of their culture. And, yeah. And then a person asking us about
for 15 years, DES has been lobbying the Department of Education. The Department of Education do not accept South African sign language to be in the school. And that's why this whole issue has been brought to the courts. DESA went to the high court because the Department of Education is in the Schools Act, but they do not want that as a school subject. For 15 years, until now, the Department of Education still tells us that South African Sign Language is not an official language and is not a real language. And that was severe discrimination that we had been from the Department of Education. The Department of Education has not based their statements on any research. I grew up in a school for the deaf. I grew up in the oral system. Most of the teachers have not used South African Sign Language. They use total communication, signs with words. I had to pick up and battle to see what they are saying. And still, today, teachers are using total communication. If it's an official language, then they will accept it and then it can be enforced into the school. So, black people oppose this because, and you know why in 1976 the Soweto uprising? Because of Afrikaans being enforced on them. And that same principle is applying to us. Why enforcing an oral language on us that's not our language? And I cannot tell you how many documents have been and research have been submitted to the Department of Education. So why I'm saying this is that the biggest problem with the department officials, they are coming from the apartheid system. The teachers are being appointed into those positions in the Department of Education, and they're using that philosophy within the Department of Education, and that's creating the battles. And that's why we need there to address with the Portfolio Committee on Education. But we will take necessary steps to address these matters with the Department of Education. And then, like I said, it will make a huge difference if it's an official language. It will make a huge difference. Maybe not for you, because you are a hearing community. You have a language. Yes, Xhosa, yes, Zulu, you have languages. Mm. For the deaf people, it will have a huge impact. That's why it's so important for us to get it recognized. Government, if they accept it, the public will accept it. If government is not accepting it, and national constitution is not accepting it, then nobody will. That's why we want it to be accepted. Thank you, Chairman.
Is there another follow-up question on the chapter before she... Yeah. Before the question on chapter. Yeah, the question. Is it on chapter? On chapter.
Yes.
Let's hear Honorable Schmidt and then Honorable Sibo.
My question was relating to, you said the word South African Sign Language. Yeah. Is there an international sign language? And if so, is it the universal language? And why do they call it South African Sign?
Okay. Honorable Sibo?
Mine was on a person who has never been at school.
Okay, can I respond?
Yeah, that was a very good question to ask us. Why South African Sign Language? Each country has its own sign language. To give you an example, an American Sign Language is different to South African Sign Language. Uganda Sign Language is different to South African Sign Language. Namibian Sign Language is different to to South African Sign Language in those different countries. Each country has its own sign language. American Sign Language will sign mother like this. When they come to South Africa, they will use mother like this, and we will not understand that sign. So here, we sign mother like this. If you go to America and you say a mother like this, they will not understand you. American sign, I'm just giving a few examples. Name is this, and then for us, yeah, name means toilet. Their sign means toilet to us. If you go to America and you use toilet, and then they will say, what do you mean you want my name? And we wanted a toilet. So that is the difference in the signs. But the grammar is exactly the same internationally. So, the WFD, the World Federation of the Deaf, their aim is to have an international sign system. The Americans sign toilet like this, and we sign toilet like this. The international sign for toilet is this, WC. I, as a deaf person from South Africa, when I meet a deaf person from France, yes, he uses French sign language, I use South African sign language. There's a difference in the signs, but when we do meet, we make adjustments and we use gestures to understand each other. So then we change into an international sign system. Is that to give you an example, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, a deaf person grew up at home, like your example, never attending school. He can't, he's illiterate, he can't read or write, but he grew up with sign language. His parents kept him at home. He developed a sign system for himself. The Department of Education has started a program, Kare Gude, and where they're giving basic numeracy skills and literacy skills. For that person, it will help because he is involved in Kare Gude. And people say that it's impossible to teach this person any literacy skills. We teach that person, and our medium is South African Sign Language. And it takes a lot of commitment, and then through that, he will be able to become literate. That's just one example. And another example, in Venezuela, the WFD Youth Section President. He came here to South Africa to prepare the South African youth on the International Youth Camp in 2011. And a deaf woman grew up on a very small island. And he explained that to her. She had received no education, nothing. And there was absolutely, and he met her, and he saw that she's deaf. And he saw and that she doesn't have any literacy skills. So she couldn't even read his lips. And she's beautiful. She's extremely beautiful. And that agency, saw her. And she participated in the pageant for Miss Venezuela. She won it. She couldn't communicate. That agency, that model agency, appointed a deaf person to teach her and to make her literate and to teach her a language. Now, she's participating in the international pageant. So, for that, you can make people literate, and you can use the truth of African sign language to get people's literacy skills up to standard.
Okay, let's go to CFN.
Thank you, Chairperson. interpretation. Chairperson, just to say that we are under no illusions as to the seriousness of the question before us all in terms of what is necessary. We did meet, for the information of this meeting, we did meet with PENSAF just before we came here. Their arguments, which they are presenting now, were very convincing. But at the time, PENSAF had their own advocate in Mr. Feni, but I didn't have our advocate in Mr. Sidupane, so they almost intimidated me into believing what they were saying until we also met separately, and we decided to maintain the integrity of the findings of the previous commission.
Sorry, honourable members, there's another members, there's tea outside. If we need some tea, can just grab it and come back. I just afraid that you might get caught.
And just to go back to the recommendations, that the submission as well as support documentation thereof, and one, to note this, and then engage the affected communities in resolving the matter amicably. I think for us, the operative word is amicably, because I think all sides do need to be satisfied, and not just one side versus the other. And so I think if we could assist the committee in terms of how do we do this, this is the practical side of it that is extremely difficult in terms of time, in terms of resources, but also in terms of how practical will the outcome be. When it came to the question of the Sesotho Sabushweshwe, which is very different from Northern Sesotho, Sesotho Salibua. Sesotho Sabushweshwe is the normal Sesotho that is often spoken. But then you also have the Matswana, who have different dialects. But in the interest of doing of unity, they try just to accept that Kisitswana, but they have different dialects. And then, of course, the recommendation was based on the logic and the fairness, being aware that it could be the emotion versus the rationale, in terms of saying, how do we build this country? And that's how CRL comes in terms of promoting respect. And, Jefferson, at the end of the day, it is the people themselves who actually carry their language, carry their culture, and make sure that that culture is actually alive and working. And therefore, I just want to say we are aware of how can we assist. This was a way of assisting this difficult situation. So we still stand by the recommendation that we had made, that there should be some kind of debate and so forth. But also, what will come out of it? If you speak to the speaking people, I'm sure that you come out with one thing. If you come to the difference, so what is the best out of the situation? I think we're trying to work to, if we work together with the people trying to find the solution, not to be against one another, I think we'll still be able to find each other. That would be my contribution to it.
The five-finger postulation that you gave us, and that question has been asked by someone, are all of the dialects equal? And do they all sit under an umbrella of the Sesotho Salibowa? I mean, that surely is the question, in which case the PEDI must accept that it sits under the umbrella. Or is the PEDI in anything so different that the way out is to do what my colleague there said, as to constitutionalize both the Sesotho Salibowa and the Sesotho and well, the PEDI, but she gave it a different name.
Okay, no, I'll just talk to that one quickly, Chair. In actual fact, what is happening is that the Commission itself has received, let me just say, four complaints with regard to this particular issue. And all the complainants are saying that we are all dialects, including CP. Pulana, Batokwa, whomever. We are all dialects and we fall under the umbrella language being the Sotho-Salibo, not the Sotho. So the question of elevation of the Pedi is their main concern. So then just to link it to the question that was asked before as to whether we cannot actually have all these dialects as languages. To me, the question is we have to apply a reasonable math test. If a number of communities are saying, out of 20, two are saying Sepedi is an official language, and 18 are saying actually Sepedi is not, but it's just one of us. We have synonyms, we have antonyms, and all that. Our languages are not really different. Really, we need to look into that particular aspect. I had actually said in the commission, because the question of saying, won't the Bapedi come back and to the commission and say, but we want to still remain entrenched in the constitution. What I said to the commission was that, really, we cannot go on like this. An example is with regards to the Botswana. I'm Botswana, I'm Muguruti by birth. They are the Bakata, they are the Barolong. We speak one and the same things. We have synonyms, we have antonyms and all that. But then coming up with all this thing of saying, let's have the Bahuruti language officialized, it will just create chaos in the country. So to me, that won't stand. However, we'll have to investigate it further so as to ascertain what is the true reflection of the situation.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, further questions? Or let's have another answer.
Yes, Chair. Thank you. In support of what the previous speaker has just said, if you look at the Sotho group languages, Setswana, Sepedi, and Sesotho, they are related. And all of them, they have dialects. But fortunately for Sesotho and Setswana, they have opted to use Sesotho to cover all these other dialects. Now, if you look at Sepedi, where now there is a debate between Northern Sotho and Sepedi, I think the argument is not balanced there. The people that are using Northern Sotho as Sotho Salebua, right as Sepedi, they're using that from the basis that initially the Sotho languages were divided into North, West, and South. But us, as the Sotho speaking people, we don't refer ourselves in that manner. It is Bapedi, Batswana, Basotho. Now, the language is originated from there. But when it comes to the Bapedi, then the other group opted to use the description that says North. So it is that whole debate that needs to be, that is why we are saying these people should go back, agree, should not be argued on the historical point of view or the linguistical point of view, as the CRL also mentioned. People should come up with an amicable solution to say, when the other groups are using the name that directly comes from the people themselves, Basotho, Batswana, Bapedi, then the language should also in line itself in that way. That would be easy. But if we come and debate it from the dialect, then that is where we are going to have problems. Because we still have Setswana in Sesotho. And then we still have, for example, Sepedi. In actual fact, all these languages come from Setswana and then Bapedi and then Basotho. Then why can't we use the common thing that will also make it easy? Because once we say, let us use Sepedi against Northern Sotho, then we'll look at that of Basotho and Baputi. We also would like both their languages to be recognized. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Schmidt?
Mr. Chair, yes. I find it, with due respect, maybe due to my limited capacity, but extremely intricate and possibly confusing
And I think, you know, what needs to be done, because there's a massive amount of historical facts to it, which needs to be understood. And it seems to me, and I'm back to page 2 of that report which I referred to, that, you know, that five-finger approach, I only see, and it's in the light of an interpretation of response analysis, which I don't understand. I don't understand what the interpretation of the response analysis exactly is, what it's meant to be. But I don't see, if I understand correctly, the other fingers of that hand in this interpretation of response analysis. And hence my question, which is, if Sesotho La Tsela Boer only refers to North Sesotho and Sepedi, where are the other dialects? And then, you know, it then comes back to, where is the other languages which one of the other members referred to within that framework? I find myself lost in a maze of other problems. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Sesotho La Tsela Boer, as you say, it encompasses all the other dialects. Yeah. As it says there in the document, if you read well in the document, that's where, you know, there was this Kikuyu who conquered these other nations or other people. But these other, like Patukwa, I think they were not conquered. So they said, no, but we fought under Sesotho La Tsela Boer, now we're not conquered. According to the history here, after Sikukun conquered those people, then he forced Sipedi onto them. So that's why they Sipedi. But the other nations were not conquered, and they said, no, we're not conquered, it was not forced on us. So those are those dialects. Now, Sikukwa, Sipedi, it is a dialect. But these other nations, these other Bakrokwa, they're not conquered. They are, no, we can't fall under the overall umbrella of Sesotho La Tsela Boer. According to the history that is in this document, that's what it says. I'll see a hand. Let's hear from the Khoshi. She's the wife of a king in Sikukuni, Lesotho.
Not Sikukuni.
she's from that side, you know. She's
one of those who did not be conquered by Sikukuni.
Ask someone to interpret from Pedro Sentenza.
Yeah, and then Dre Ile Artena. Maragam Pukikong Vibola Lagawana. Put Tata to Milikibala Bore, Varia Carre, the Varsity, Leyvana. Mola or Mola Marao Mola. A very cushion, dialect German, Dukopan. Itava, nothing, so like this. Maragam Hova, Leyton Sangawana. Kin Mrs. Lord Trena, Vahana, Vatunia, the Wuga Javana, Vahana. Kluwei ni wana watoja kadi buka cha wana cha kluwei. Kemo kwenye kile itor detail. Mara kwa baba mapedi, baka basi pedi, baka tava kopana. Raleka kwa yewoncha orwa chomdim. Rana ra palaki, watona ra palaka yini. Kama kala orwa watona siwa la bakono ukwana. Yele rana wa yuka rinya kwa mutwa no mutri. Uwe kwa dimu kami vutri eme imo. Kina kana ori yei tarichusha. Ene, ye mwe kwa kinya kwa uvalela kwa yena kia sign language. Ore mola di rural area more tsang gona bana ba le barna ba tsarna ba ka sokola kudu mwana no vele gwa a sa khone o bolela na pile mwana la o felele tsa ile gore o gola pei skolo mo o ta ruta ke ma ba ruti sia ba tsene tsane la ngwe mara ka mkhoba ya ba ile la nka gona gore ke re ka ikwisisa gore ke nne tsa ri ya mogele la bana mola di rural area mwana mola go bolela ntlo bedu Setokwa le Sepedi bana ba rona ba tlo kgona go thusa gore ka dikolong go tla kgona go ba le sign language ga nebele ke be ke lebeletse generation gore na morwa a ka akara a feleletsa a rata motho wa go bolela ka sign language motho a ba kwatsile bo dibja ka gore ba ka se dule fatshe ba ngwala a kore mmo o kwatsile o le o ta ratsa nyaka pena re wa ngwala o le a tlalela lebati a tsoga mara ga ba setse ba tsoga sign language ka moka ga bona ba tla rogana ka sign language aba ba itere ka dikolo la ikwisisa ke leboga
just in a nutshell, Chair, the honourable member is actually agreeing with the last speaker's comments with regards to the Botswana having agreed to fall under an umbrella body Botswana, the Basotho similarly, then why can't the Basotho have this, they follow the same approach? And then with regards to the question of sign language, she's of the opinion that
clearly sign language needs to be officialized in order to cater for all these kids. Even she made an example with the kids who are seated at home, not attending school and all that. They are then bound ultimately to depend on government grants. So in order to avoid alleviate government of this particular problem as well, of providing grants and so forth, then we need really to officialize the language so that they can as well be catered for and as well be able to develop their own lives and become somebody else tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Sia. Thank you very much. There is value in what we are doing here, in that you are probing the one perspective you got from the research. But mine is to emphasize that this committee needs to approach this matter very open-mindedly, because the consultation on this matter must be done by this committee. Nothing short of that will resolve this thing amicably. So the sense that the committee can conclude on the basis of the recommendation is not going to work. In fact, one of the key recommendations is that the committee must consult. But it must do so with an open mind. So what I'm going at is that the value of this exercise is that you are understanding the perspective of this document. There are other perspectives, we must say that, that you need to go and listen to and then take the decision. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments?
Of all the issues in our country, language is the most, not non-negotiable, unnegotiable. It really is. It's the most difficult because it goes to the heart of identity. And so, I mean, I accept the difficulty. I just don't know what the modality is going to be of ourselves and our friends from the CRL and self taking this process further, which clearly is what it indicated. I just don't know how we're going to do it. But that clearly is where we are left. Thank you.
Chairperson, I want to believe that we, in spite of the difficulty, I think we have great people in this country considering what we've been able to achieve up to now. And Mara from who spoke is now out, is that I think we should, whilst we can approach this, and I say this with the deepest of respect to PENSAP and the work that they have done, with an open mind. I also think we need also to approach it with an informed mind, which is what we have already got. Secondly, I think our people would be open to guidance in terms of how we have been informed, even as we listen and respect people's views. But we must also move to a point where we do not spend the rest of our lives negotiating which is the right language, which is not the right language. What we also know that there are extremely, and I'm not underestimating this, extremely pressing issues of life that are facing our country. And that is why I do want to believe that people who are being approached would be in a position to assist in terms of coming to some conclusion. We're not expecting that people will come here and want their pound of flesh, because then that will create a lot of problems. I think our approach in this thing must be people assist us to assist you to come to a amicable solution. And so I think for me, PENSAP has already done a lot of the work that is, even if they were doing it with Sarah, but we've already heard in terms of the depths that they've gone into in terms of the sign language, that I think I would urge them to actually use this in terms of guiding us, all of us, as to how we can approach this. And I'm just very much aware of what they're saying, open mind, but I also say we also need to go there with an informed mind.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything that Dr. Dr. want to say or comment?
I have nothing to say, but I have the full faith in this committee to lead the process and to make sure that this will happen. We like government statements, and this or parliament statement, this is a people's parliament, and you want to improve the quality of life of people. So thank you for assisting us in achieving our goals. Thank you.
Okay, thank you to all three institutions. Honourable members, in view that we don't form a quorum, I think we will, we've taken all the minutes, we've got all the documentation. I think in the next meeting, which should be next year, then we'll have to take decisions on these two issues. There's quite a lot of information that I think we are in a position to take decisions at the moment. And to PENSAP, CRL, and Deaf South Africa, thank you for coming. And we hope we'll meet you again in the future. But at the end of the day, the decision to whether to go and make super hearings or to take a decision, whether you take CPAD or Sisusa Lugua, ready to start life with the committee. And your documentation and your research really do help us a great deal to come to this informed decision that we are going to take. And just as South Africa, I think it has been highlighted to us that how life could be made easier and improve us people if we can make this 12th language. However, it rests with the members and some more consultation that we take that decision. With those few words, thank you, honourable members, for honouring this day of coming. You know, Fridays are very difficult days, especially on pay days. But for coming, and thank you, and for your commitment. This meeting stands adjourned.